Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn. Velocity Child here. Welcome to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm very delighted. One of my favorite mentors is in the house. Editrix Abby Eamon. Hello.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
And I'm excited to hear your musical journey tonight.
Well.
Oh, I love all of it. I like every kind of music. And I also like when, especially when it's extremely random or offbeat or, you know, just downright dorky. So I'm into
it. It's a little predictable for someone my age, I suppose.
No, I wouldn't think that, though. Like, that generation had plenty of genres to choose from.
Yeah, I've always just liked songs, singer-songwriter sort of songs, things that are easy to sing along with.
So, yes.
Singing along alone in my bedroom in fourth grade, or singing along with a bunch of friends on the living room floor in high school, or in the dorms in college, or in bars post-college. Yes.
Well, you know, I was dancing naked in my bedroom to Donna Summer's Hot Stuff in 78, so I totally...
Weren't we all?
Yeah, right? So what do you have for us to start with? What's the beginning of your journey?
Well, the first few albums that I had were, I don't know, I think I had Hair, which I couldn't
me too.
Believe. Yeah, when I remember listening to that. And then the Sodomy Fellatio song came on while I was in the bathroom, and my cousin and my mother were listening, and I'm like, oh, shit, she's going to take that album away from me. I think I was in third grade at that point, so I was a little, you know, I was early bloomer, lyrics-wise.
You sing along to Sodomy and Fellatio?
Oh, yeah. That's so Cunnilingus. Awesome. Yeah. I didn't even know what I was singing
about.
Yeah, I was very young and I had no idea what I knew it was bad. I knew it was wrong. But Simon and Garfunkel was probably the first bunch of albums that I bought. And
your first influencer.
Yeah. I mean, I had a bunch of 45s and stuff, but as far as albums, like I really just loved all of the Simon Garfunkel albums. So.
Whoa, lay it on me. What we doing?
We're doing The Sound of Silence.
Here we are, folks. Listen to The Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. The halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. bed. Disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell. Echo the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, the tenement halls, whispered the sounds of silence.
That was The Sound of Silence. And didn't it sort of sound like the 60s? I just saw the new Tarantino movie, and oh my God.
Oh, I'm dying.
The soundtrack was so great. It was so great.
He has the best music.
It's a love-hate thing. Some people who've seen it hated it, and oh. I loved it. The set design, the everything was so beautiful. There's a scene where it's dusk in L.A., and they're flipping on all the neon lights. And it's just like there's the sound of a light switch being. And it's just beautiful. It's an homage to the movie industry and TV and Westerns. And it's a love letter to Los Angeles. I mean, I'm not a big LA fan, but it's, you know,
makes you want to be an LA fan.
Yeah. And, you know, because New York is mythic as a place. Los Angeles is also mythic as a place. And having lived here for so long, I'm intimately, you know, knowledgeable about New York, but not so much LA. So it still has that mythic proportion for me. Uh-huh. And the time that, you know, it was the summer of love when the movie takes place. So it was a mythic time even.
Yeah, the Doors were killing it at that time.
Yeah, and it's based around the whole Manson thing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful movie. It's not...
I have to see. There's murder involved?
Some people keep saying that it's a very quiet movie for Tarantino, which it is. It's not...
But is it more like a Jackie Brown kind of speed?
It's just very slow and quiet and... I don't know. The two of them look like they're having a blast making the movie. The acting's great. I really enjoyed it. The set. I would have loved to have, I remember that blender. My mom had that blender in avocado. It's beautiful to look at. But there's something about the last few notes of The Sound of Silence that just sounds like the 60s, like that just guitar twang that puts you back in another time.
Completely. Mm-hmm. And do tell, what's happening next?
Up next, it's a deep cut off the Beatles' White Album, which I am old enough to say I had a White Album that my friend and I actually steamed over a pot of boiling water to see if the naked picture was there underneath.
Oh,
I forget
wow.
what it was supposed to be underneath there. And then it was the car crash where, you know, back when everyone thought that Paul was dead and there were all these clues on all their albums and you played this one song backwards and it creeped everyone out. I mean, it was just a time and a place.
Was
also.
This before or after they went to India?
I don't know before about the chronology Rivers. Of India. I think that it might have must have already gone because I think the White Album, if I recall correctly, I'm not like uber geek fan. And I always say that men go two ways, and I don't mean sexually. I mean, some men remember every ball player that played every position and all the scores of this game versus that game and who won the World Series. And then the other dudes are all like, oh, I know that album and who produced it and who played the guitars and who played. I just know the words.
It's funny. I was saying the other day that, you know, I have a friend and he loves his concerts. And he's almost like a guy going to a ball game. Like it's this, he's like, it turns into a kid again. And in a way, like concerts are that same sort of arena like vibe.
And it's like this factual kind of encyclopedic knowledge that men seem to have. I just know the words to all the songs. I don't remember which album came first necessarily. So I do remember the time when we all thought, oh, we got to find all the clues and the hand over this and the he's barefoot and Paul Bears. I vaguely remember it. It was so long ago.
Of the songs off the White Album, why this one?
Because I really enjoy singing along to songs, and mm-hmm. this one has a lot of inflection. Mm. So I like to be able to sing along exactly the way the song is sung. Exactly the way.
Yes.
And
this fits summer your in the
Black
range.
Mines Hills off Dakota, there lives. Like, I want, like, I can, I just, I don't know. I just grabbed this one because I love all the words.
I love singing along.
It is a fun song, and it isn't one that people think about immediately when they think of the Beatles.
Oh, so. It's like what you said earlier. It's a deep cut.
Mm-hmm.
And this, folks, are you ready, Abby?
Yes, this is Rocky Raccoon.
Rocky Raccoon.
Now somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. And one day his woman ran off with another guy, hitting young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dreams by stealing the girl of his fancy. Her name was McGill, and she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. Now she and her man, who called himself Dan, were in the next room at the hoedown. A Rocky burst in and grinning a grin. He said, Danny boy, this is a showdown. But Daniel was hot, he drew fast and shot, and Rocky collapsed in the corner. Proceeded to lie on the table. He said, Rocky, you met your match. And Rocky said, Doc, it's only a scratch. And I'll be better, Doc, as soon as I am able. And now Rocky Raccoon, he fell back in his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. And he left it, no doubt, to help with good Rocky's revival. Oh, yeah, yeah.
think that's my new favorite Beatles song.
Well, I'm glad I could introduce it to you. The whole White Album is pretty great, really. Yeah, I think
I'm going to have to get really stoned tomorrow and just meditate on the whole album now.
Well, it was back when albums were albums, when one song flowed into another, and they were supposed to go in a specific order.
Yeah, like
which
theater.
No one does anymore. They all just are standalone MP3, soulless little bits
cuts.
And bytes and zeros and ones floating in the ether.
Clicks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
well, this next one's definitely no click.
No. This is, I'll tell listeners, we did try for Funeral for a Friend and Love Lies Bleeding, which is probably one of my favorite songs of all time. And should I get hit by a bus tomorrow, you better make sure they play it at my funeral. I'm a huge Elton John fan, well, was in high school. And so this album, when we would still lay on the living room floor, and I don't know why we're separating M&Ms by colors. And anyway, I had rhinestone jackets and a boyfriend with a hot rod. Then I painted Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting on the back of the car. And I had a jacket that I put that in rhinestones. And
that's so fucking hot.
I was a huge, glam rock, to be honest, at the time, like it was Pink Floyd and Bowie, and they scared me because I was sort of square. Mm-hmm. I didn't really even drink till I went to college, and certainly didn't do drugs till quite a while after that. And, you know, even though people I was in high school with were smoking angel dust and whatnot, and people I was in elementary school with were smoking pot, I, you know, till this day have not smoked pot.
Yeah, but the 70s were fucking wild.
Yeah, I was pretty square. I don't know. I believe that Dragnet where the kid with the black and white, half black painted face, heck, white painted face, you know, jumped off a roof because he was on acid. I it was before Nancy Reagan said just say no, but I was... Drugs scared me at the time.
Wouldn't you say that Elton John is like the square glam rocker then?
Yeah. Well, to me, he was.
Yeah.
He was a safer glam rocker. Just as gay in retrospect, but at the time we didn't know. It was like just whispered about. But Bowie was so out there that, you know, little old...
The Marilyn Manson of his time.
Whatever 15-year-old, 14-year-old me was just not ready for Ziggy Stardust, I guess. I was much more ready for, I've gone back recently and started listening to more albums. And, you know, there's a song about being the lesbians, and there's the Sweet Painted Lady, so there's the hooker song. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time, sort of like other things where when you're young, like when I was listening to the Hair album, I didn't know really what the sodomy and fellatio was talking about. And at the time I was like, ooh, lesbians. But, you know, so looking back, I'm like, wow, this was all pretty advanced, even though I was pretty square at the time.
But he sounds so happy when he does it, you know?
Well...
He doesn't get spooky like Bowie did.
Well, he's songs can make anything sound happy.
Yeah, it can normalize anything.
Yes. All right, well, so instead of Love Lies Bleeding and Funeral for a Friend, I figured why not the title track? So, ladies and gentlemen, goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Mm-hmm.
Back to-
That was the end of my high school segment of the program, and now we're going to segue into the college section of the program.
Yes.
Where I was drinking and living in San Diego at the beach, and my friend was from Florida. She grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and she was a big Jimmy Buffett fan.
Wow.
And I loved this song, which pretty much summed up all the activities of being in college in San Diego State University and living in Mission Beach.
And that song is?
Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw?
By Jimmy Buffett.
Appreciate the fact you're sitting here. Your voice sounds so wonderful, but your face don't look too clear. So barmaid, bring a pitcher, another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk and screw? Why don't we get drunk and screwed? I just bought a waterbed, it's filled up for me and you. They say you are a snuff queen, honey, I don't think that's true. So why don't we get drunk and screwed?
Pick it, Coral Reef.
Thank you.
I don't know why I haven't seen anyone yet do a burlesque number to that song. That song is just made for it.
It would be perfect, but I think that maybe Buffett's painfully unhip.
All the more reason, though, in a way.
I went to a Jimmy Buffett concert a couple of years ago thinking these were going to be my people.
And no. Oh,
man, they were not my people.
No, MAGA, I mean, all the way.
No. I don't know that they were that.
This was
long before that, but it was definitely... Yeah, it was a little too bro-y, and it was not my scene.
Yeah.
But I loved his music up until a certain point. But I would say that point was right where I fell down the punk rock rabbit hole and, you know, went to see Decline of Western Civilization, went to see The Cramps, went to see X, went to see
Changed
The Circle
your whole
Jerks.
Fucking perspective.
And, yeah. And
did you ever get to see Patti Smith?
Not in college. She must have toured, but I was always seeing, like, I remember on campus, I saw the Go-Go's and I saw the Stray Cats on campus, as well as actually Jimmy Buffett.
That's brilliant. But,
I fell down a crazy rabbit hole of punk rock, and all my friends who'd been listening to Jimmy Buffett and we were all wearing, you know, Bermuda shorts and Izod shirts were like, what the hell happened to Abby? Who are those people she's hanging around with now? And I've always loved this song.
You were making people nervous.
Yeah, well.
That's so funny.
Always. But I always loved this song. It was pretty much about Los Angeles at the time, but now it's about New York for me.
Honestly, I do think of New York when I hear this song.
I mean, I guess it's if you're singing and dancing around to that 80s dance that everyone did where, you know, like in the Breakfast Club, it's any town. It's your town.
Yeah,
it's
if
this
I was
town.
In New Orleans, I'd be like,
yeah, it's
this
your
town.
Town. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this town.
This town by the Go-Go's.
By the Go-Go's.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, at that time, this town, my town, was San Diego, and that rabbit hole I fell down got so crucial that I kind of needed to leave that town because I just became the den mother to a bunch of punk rockers who, you know, kept getting me kicked out of apartments. So I had to leave town.
You're like the Wendy to their Lost Boys.
Yes. Well, it wasn't quite that poetic. It was a little more criminal than that. But yeah, so I, you know, moved home and started looking for a job and wound up on the East Coast. And then I wound up on the West Coast. And then I wound up in New York, where I wound up at Downtown Beirut and the Village Idiot, where I met a million friends that I still have to this day. And one of the songs that was on the jukebox at the Village Idiot was this song. And it has followed me since, I don't know, 90, whatever that was, 89. Mm-hmm. And it's on the jukebox at my bar. It's at the jukebox.
And her bar, by the way, is phenomenal. You've got to definitely hang out in their beautiful backyard and check it out. And their jukebox is killer and their drinks are great. And it's very a local bar. You're not going to see a lot of tourists. It's Lucky on Avenue B.
Yeah, 168 Avenue B. Nice. And the jukebox has culturally relevant homemade CDs. And so we've replicated 6 CDs of the jukebox at Downtown Beirut, 4 from Mars Bar, 3 from Lakeside Lounge. We've got Dick's Bar, Motor City, and 3 from the Village Idiot, which includes this next song. But the song's also on a jukebox in a little town called Gerlach, which is the closest tiny town with about 200 year-round residents to where Burning Man happens. And for a decade, a little over a decade, I was living either on the playa or in Gerlach, managing the sign shop. And so I've been standing on bars, screaming along to this song for a really long time, a really long time.
I can't wait. I got to hear this.
And this is David Allan Coe. You never even called me by my name.
Well, it was all that I could do. Keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain, but you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never have to call me Waylon Jennings, and you don't have to call me Charlie Price, and you don't have to call me Merle Haggard anymore. Even though you're on my time in your phone book.
Hello, hello.
And I've seen it on signs where I play. But the only time I know I'll hear David Allan Coe is when Jesus has his final judgment day.
never even called me by my name. Well, a friend of mine named Steve Goodman wrote that song, and he told me it was the perfect country and western song. I wrote him back a letter and I told him it was not the perfect country and western song because he hadn't said anything at all about mama or trains or trucks or prison or getting drunk. Well, he sat down and wrote another verse to the song and he sent it to me, and after reading it I realized that my friend had written the perfect country and western song. And I felt obliged to include it on this album. The last verse goes like this here. Well, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison. And I went to pick her up in the rain. But before station in the pickup truck, she got run over by a damned old train. And I'll hang around as long as you will let me. And I never minded standing in the rain.
Yeah, that song just demands that you be standing on a bar and screaming out the lyrics, don't you think?
Yes. And doing like that knee cross your hand thing.
Certainly fist bumping, I don't know, that's a little bro-y, but it's I like all the sing-along songs, and that is a great sing-along song. And
you
it reminds me now of 100 different friends and 100 different places and times. And it, you know, it's an invigorating little tune.
Yes. It's like that sort of like, you know, you think of the Irish bard songs in the
yes.
bars. It has that vibe.
And that was, you know, it was on the jukebox at the Village Idiot. And, you know, I remember being there one night where G.G. Allin threw a beer stein across the room, probably clocked somebody in the head. The days were wilder then.
Yeah, it was like the fucking Wild West.
Yeah, it was just...
Wild East.
Yeah, it was a rawer time.
New York City in the 80s.
Yep. Well, early 80s? 90s.
Early
90s. Yeah. Well, I mean, I moved into the neighborhood in 89, so...
Yeah, I didn't get here till 95.
Downtown Beirut was... closed by then. I think that the Idiot closed before that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, my first real club experience was obviously I was at the Blue Angel Cabaret, but that was working. But when I was actually went to an actual club and performed outside of the Blue Angel just as a performer, it was the Pyramid, and that's where I met you.
Yeah, yeah. You were wrapped in raw meat, I believe.
Yeah,
the whole room smelled like barbecue sauce.
Oh, and horseradish, and just,
oh my god, and Chang slipped and fell in the barbecue sauce.
It
was so gross.
He had it coming.
Beautiful. It was definitely a more entertaining time.
Oh yeah. The only bummer about that night is somebody stole our baby wipes, and
oh,
it was the raw meat was starting to make our skin tingle and itch and do weird things.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. Yikes.
And you know, the Pyramid, they didn't have a shower.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not too many clubs did at the time, I suppose. It's not Madison Square Garden.
No, it was raw.
Very. So I guess we're going to segue now to speaking of Burning Man and being in Gerlach and singing along to that song at Joe's Gerlach Club. This next song is sort of my, I wound up being the sign shop manager for the Department of Public Works of Burning Man. And it was, it's the only job I didn't get fired from in my whole life, pretty much. And it was pretty much the only, it was the only place I've ever worked where they really got me. And I had a boss, Tony Coyote Perez, who also really got me and backed me and believed in me and recommended me for the job. And they offered me the job. I'm like, what, you want me to be the manager of people? Are you fucking crazy? But I did that job for a while.
You work great with people.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I still work with them when I go back. I'm going back a week from tomorrow. I'll be there when this airs, which is super awesome. I will be on the playa.
August 16th at Burning the stroke Man of midnight. Yeah, well, 9 p.m. your time.
It'll be 9 p.m. Whatever.
In the
Burning
state
Man
of Nevada,
o'clock.
Right?
Yeah. But well, if you listen to this song, the sign shop, our job is to make the signs and then install the signs. So when we do our job, we start it where the streets have no name. And then we put up the signs, and Black Rock City has street signs with names. And if you all the, like, trampled in dust, listen to the lyrics. It was almost like U2 was writing this song for the DPW sign shop. Ladies and gentlemen, where the streets have no name.
U2.
Thank you.
also want to dedicate that to After Five, who was one of my crew members who I had to fire every year because she'd drive me fucking bananas.
Oh.
And she's like, you got to fire me. Every year you got to fire me. But
she likes being fired.
That was our song, yeah. And it sort of encapsulated most of that decade for me. But also part of working with the Department of Public Works for Burning Man, the final step in the giant process of setting up a tearing down and cleaning up is called Playa Restoration. Mm. And we have these songs that we call meltdown songs, which means that it's a song that gets played over and over and over while we're doing our line sweeps. And in the spirit of that, we had Erwino, who's one of our EMTs.
Is it done on purpose, like a mantra?
Yeah, it's to drive everybody batshit crazy.
Like a mantra.
Yeah, and sometimes it would be Ghostbusters or, you know,
oh, no.
The theme to, you know.
You better like the song.
Yeah, it was just, I have a whole CD of them at the bar. You're welcome to come by and look at the DPW Meltdown Song CD at Lucky. But Erwino, who was our EMT for DPW during Playa Restoration, is also an amazing DJ. And we had one day where we're all out at Frog Pond for, you know, we had this sort of semi-organized, where we all, what the hell do we call it? I'm not going to remember the word. We don't do it anymore. But we all we all would bail and go to Frog Pond. And he was playing this crazy soundtrack where it was like he was in everyone's brains. And they were obviously mind-altering substances, which I should probably not talk about on
radio.
That's all right. But anyway, whatever. It's Burning Man, right?
Radio.
But also we would have shit show Saturday into Sunday where everyone would see how many hours they could stay up and bartend for 48 hours straight. And I would bartend with all these crazy people and Erwino would DJ. And I think there was one particular day where he might have played Daft Punk's Get Lucky, I don't know, for 3 hours maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And you know, it the first three times you're like, wow. And then the fifth time you're like, this is pissing me off. And then you get into this Zen reality when on hour one of the same song and you're like, you just surrender to it. And the same could be said for like, yeah, so we would hear Freebird for 3 hours straight or the Ghostbusters theme or the Happy Days theme or Sexy Back. I mean, imagine all these songs on repeat for 3 hours until you're just at one with the song. And in the moment, you might want to kill the DJ or you might want to kill someone, your neighbor, anyone. But 3 months later, you hear the song and you burst into tears because there's nothing that's that awesome as being out there doing that thing with those people. So also, you know, there's the whole Daft Punk at the trash fence joke, you know, where, oh, everybody go to the trash fence. Daft Punk is playing at Burning Man, which is like, it's a long, alive meme. But so also this is on the jukebox, not falling under the DPW CD, but under the Lucky themed CD. So this is Daft Punk, Get Lucky.
Up all night to the sun. I'm up all night to get some. life keeps on giving. What is this I'm feeling? If you wanna leave, I'm with it.
Tonight, editrix Abby Eamon.
Well, thank you, and thanks for taking us all on this little oral history.
Oh, well, you definitely took us on this very oral history. And where can we find you in cyberspace?
Well, you can find me at luckyonb.com, which is actually the bar. And you can find me at the bar, which is at 168 Avenue B.
And
you can
Instagram.
You can find all these songs there too. Yeah, all my social media is Lucky on B, Facebook, Insta, and the interwebs.
Well, cheers, Abby.
Cling cling.
This is fabulous.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman, stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.